All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. June 5th, 2023, Monday. Beautiful. Hope it's amazing wherever you are at. It is awesome outside. A little cool, but I think by the end of the week, we're going to be up in the 80s and, you know, school is almost out. I don't know if today is the last day. My oldest graduated from high school on Friday. Graduation, congratulations, David. Good job. You know, really blessed. You made it look really easy. I'm like, I wish I could have done that, right? I ended up having to get a GED. I don't know if I've shared that, but I did not graduate. I got a GED because I could not pull my head out of my ass. And that seemed like the route. And I'm glad, you know, luckily I was smart enough to pass the GED, right? But he graduated, and we're so proud of him. Love you, David. And, you know, the little ones are getting ready to move up. And my daughter, she has her move-up day, right, is I think on Thursday. So it's just really a fun time. It's a fun time to watch, you know, your kids moving up and moving onward. It's cool because lightens up our load a little bit for a few months, right, with the summer. I'm super grateful I don't have to make lunches for a few months because at that, I love it and I'm grateful and I get to, right? But, you know, some days a pain in the ass, right? So I'll be looking forward to a 3-month break from making lunches. We had the big boat race this weekend. It's just been kind of a chaotic freaking weekend, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Had the boat race. I had that was on Saturday. I had to move my whole Saturday schedule over to Sunday. We had shitty weather for the boat race. They actually canceled the race. We did get out, paddle. You know, it's like a Seinfeld episode. The ocean was angry that day, my friends, and it was. It was a little sketchy, but we did it. You know, everything was great. Had a lot of fun, but it's really thrown off my whole week because today feels like Tuesday, and it's only Monday, and whatever. We'll get back into a regularly scheduled program here soon. Supposed to go to a big party last night. I was really too tired. And I knew, you know, this is interesting, but I knew there was going to be a heavy amount of drinking going on at this party. Right? This is a drinker's party. This is where the drinkers go, right? There will be a major supply, first of all, of alcohol, and there will be a major amount of people in consuming it. And so I was like, it was going to be my wife and I and our daughter. We were going to take her because, you know, we really didn't have any options. And we like taking her. So we were going to take her, but we just were like, you know what? I think we're just going to skip it. And so we did. We skipped it. I actually mowed some grass and just hung out and had a nice quiet night. But man, it has been busy. And, you know, just I can make a list of reasons why I'm grateful to be sober. You know, the fact that, you know, my son graduated, you know, he is 17. My first sobriety date when I came back was August 25th, 2006. And that was the day before his birthday. And he was turning one, and I had just gone back to that rehab in York, PA for a little refresher course because I couldn't shake the fucking monkey, man. I could not get that demon off my back. And luckily, I was able to get up there. I remember calling him on his birthday, wishing him a happy birthday. You know, I had shared that I had taken him. I had gone out and really tied one on, man. And my last drunk, I had tied it on. And I remember taking him that next morning. I had to pick him up, and I took him to Toys R Us up in Dover and just tried to buy as many gifts for him for his birthday as I could because of the guilt and shame that I had because I couldn't get my shit together. And but whatever, it was a year, you know, he was turning a year old. And, you know, the point is just, you know, we've made it this far, right? Staying sober and having a relationship with my ex-wives, right? I have a couple ex-wives, and I have a wife. And, you know, we had dinner with my first ex-wife and her mother and son and David and my kids. And, you know, you don't always see that a lot of times. A lot of times It's hard to let go of like my wife could easily have a, or my ex, excuse me, my ex-wife could easily have 100 resentments from 17 years ago, right? She could easily have 100 grievances from just the last 17 years of different conversations. I could absolutely too, right? And but we choose not to, right? We choose to just stay in the moment. And it's a, to us, it's a much better life for us to all get along. And, you know, the kids love it. And David was so grateful that we could all hang out and have dinner. So just, you know, I'm not going to spend my whole podcast talking about that. Great weekend. You know, David graduating, that's what he's supposed to do, right? You know, I love it. I love it. I'm proud of him, but, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. And he knows that, right? This doesn't have to be the be-all, end-all of things that you've ever done in your life. This is just another thing that we're supposed to do, right? I didn't have the ability to pull it all together to do it. He does, did, and graduated, and just really proud of him. And he's on to the next thing, right? And his mom sort of bummed me out with the thought that she's like, you know, David will be that kid that just doesn't come back. And I was like, oh, because I always have come back, right? I've always been hanging around, right, and hanging out with my folks. And, you know, the idea that he could actually move away and, like, really not be around sort of bummed me out. I hope that doesn't happen, but it's his journey. So, oh, man. Well, it is the start of a new week. It is the start of, we just finished the fifth step. I shouldn't say that. I just finished reading it. I shared about it. I'm not a step expert. If you, hopefully you have a sponsor, hopefully you have a temporary sponsor, and you have someone to sit down and work on these steps and sit and read and get information from several people other than me, right? I'm just here to share my journey. I'm not an expert at this. I don't claim to be. I just want to just share how it's going for me, right? And, you know, maybe you'll sit down and share your story with somebody else, and we'll just keep it going. But please, sit down with a sponsor. Read the big book. Read the 12 and 12. You know, if you have questions, reach out to a friend. You know, that's what we get from this, right? That's the gift. You know, that's our superpower. That is our superpower. I was at a... That was the other thing. We had a big party that we had to go to, our neighborhood barbecue, and just love our neighbor. But it was one of these, you know, social drinking parties, a lot of drunk people, right? And a few drunk women, right? And they're like, "You're a hairdresser?" I was like, "Yeah." They're like, "I need to get on your book." I'm like, "Oh, brother, here we go." So I ended up booking a couple people. Well, this morning there was a message from the one drunk lady. I need to cancel. We're going to be out of town, which is all a lie, right? I don't care. I did not want to do her hair. I also did not know how to say no to her, but she seemed like a high maintenance. And so to get that message this morning, I was very happy. But it was one of those, another reminder, you know, I'd be the guy that would wake up and have to clean up all the messes I made the night before, right? Canceling appointments that somehow I made drunk, cleaning, you know, whatever it is. So, thank you, God, for helping me stay sober. So we're starting a new step, right? We get to start the sixth step. And, it's a big deal. Here we go.
Stays right by my side. So tell me open, call me out. The things inside that scream and shout, and the pain still hates me. So hold me until it's me. Thank you.
Metallica. Until It Sleeps. I am freaking slightly obsessed with Metallica right now. I apologize, but I am just in awe of these guys. You know, started a new tour. They posted a, if you're a Metallica fan, they put the Amsterdam, full concert Amsterdam on YouTube. It is fucking epic. And James Hetfield, my brother, is the shit. I love that guy. I love that band. I love that band. I love that band from the very beginning, right? It has been my band. There was a time in my life where that was the only band I liked. I mean, always loved bands, but I was a Metallicat. I love Metallica. And as I got sober and... Because I was a big, you know, that was my, I was a big drinking band, right? We drank a lot and listened to Metallica, did headbanging. I used to have long hair, me and my friends. It was our fucking anthem. It was our groove, man. And just always loved Metallica. And so to see these guys at their age, I don't even know how old they got to be, mid to upper 50s, right? I doubt they're in their 60s. Could be. I'm 54. I don't know if they're 10 years older than me, 8 years older than me, but... starting a 2-year world tour, epic stage, epic performance. You know, the price of these tickets for concerts have gone up. I've been priced out. I can't afford to go to a concert anymore, unfortunately. At least not a big one like that. But if you can, good for you. What I love about Metallica is so they're bringing a bigger product, right? 16 screens, 4 drum sets, a freaking stage that goes completely around the arena. There isn't a bad seat. I don't know how many microphones. I mean, they're just constantly moving around that arena to give everybody a great show. I love that. I just freaking love it. And this album is awesome. Their performance is awesome. James Hetfield does Until It Sleeps in that concert. It is freaking epic. He is just the king of frontmen. Love you, James Hetfield. Love you, Metallica. Just awesome. So Until It Sleeps, check them out. And there's people that don't like Metallica, and I get that. My wife is one of them. I tried. But so on to step 6, and I'm just going to read some of it. You know, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Yeah, entirely ready. That's tough, right? I'm entirely ready, I think, right? I think. This is, you know, character defects, they're hard to talk about, and, because it's, they're hard to see, right? Everybody else can see my character defects. It's always tough for me to see my character defects. So, that's why it's important to work with a sponsor, right? Trying to figure these character defects out. The book Drop the Rock, I've talked about before, is a great book on these two steps, 6 and 7. My buddy Matt used to say these are where we stop stealing the Wawa sugar packets. You know, and I think that's more of a 7-step sort of thing, which is, you know, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Just falling short, right? Just, you know, I don't steal, but I'm stealing sugar, Wawa sugar packets. And, that was a great, when he told me that, it really opened my eyes. But, you know, the Drop the Rock books are great for this. And I love that story in the Drop the Rock where, you know, they're headed to Serenity Island, right? Meaning that there's something, there was a stopover, right? And I'm imagining it was Sober Island, right? And, you know, it's always that, you know, what is sobriety? To be free of drink, right? Does sobriety mean to have this, have serenity? No. Sobriety means to be free of drink. Then there's the other island, right? And it talks about this boat headed to Serenity Island, and they're all on the boat, right? They're headed that way, and I've been on the boat. I feel like I'm on the boat. I feel like I'm on Serenity Island, right? I'm maybe circling it. Maybe my feet have not landed on the actual island, but I'm close, right? I feel pretty damn good. Not perfect, though. Always something, right? It's always one day at a time. But I see the island. But it talks about Mary trying to get to the boat. Like, oh, come on, Mary. You know, swim to the boat, Mary. And once you get on, we'll take you with us over to Serenity Island. And as they watch Mary, they realize Mary is drowning because Mary is dragging rocks, right, around her neck. and the rocks are pulling her under, and she can't hold, stay afloat. And, you know, that made a lot of sense to me. There are things, you know, one of the biggest things, I went to a meeting last night, and it was a promises meeting. I guess for this weekend, I don't know if whatever the first weekend, I don't know, whatever the first Monday, whatever it was, but it was on the promises. And the guy said, you know, he talked about a newfound freedom, a newfound happiness. And I shared, and I said, you know, I'll never forget just being able to drive, right, for the first time, not drunk. Wow. That was huge. But intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. And I think that's a big rock, right? For me, it is probably the biggest rock, right? The biggest fucking burden that I have to carry around. And the rock is called becoming accountable, right? Intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. That means to me, for me, is that until I started to become responsible and take accountability for my actions and the parts that I played in this shit, I was a victim. And like my buddy Matt used to say, I'm not a victim today. I am not a victim today, and I'm not a victim today. I am not. I am not carrying around any rocks, any bullshit. I try to be absolutely 100% accountable for my behavior and my actions. And if there is an issue, I get that shit fixed, right? And that was a huge deal. That was a big problem because, you know, I was the guy that would sit there and ask God, why me, when I would crash a car, right, drunk driving, crash a car, and then I'd be sitting on the curb going, why me, God? Like God actually reached down and pushed my car into a tree, right, or reached down and pushed it into a pole. That's not what happened. I got drunk, I drove the car, and I wrecked it. But I couldn't see that, right? And a lot of people can't, right? A lot of people struggle with that. Right. And until we start to figure that out, that's a huge rock. That bitch will drown you. That rock will drown you quick. And so that probably would be the first thing. And if, you know, if you're struggling with figuring out what accountability is, the way I look at it is everything that happens in my day, I'm at fault. I play a part in it somehow. Right. If I'm at fault for success or happiness or failure or uncomfortability, it's somehow I played a role. If my feet were there, I played a role, right? Is innocent, because self pride, all that shit can hide, and it can be very camouflaged, right? And what seems like something I'm in the perfect right in, doing the right thing, right? I'm just trying to help, right? I'm just trying to give some advice, right? I'm just trying to explain my expertise on you, right? You know, that not everybody needs that, right? Not everybody wants that. And what may feel like I'm trying to do the right thing in the end is the absolute wrong thing, right? But in my mind, it was right. So it's hard for me to become accountable for something when I can't even see it. And so I've just taken the position that it's all my fault. Everything that happens to me today is my fault. That seems fair. I mean, that's really... you know, I got a coupon off and we got some money off buying food. That's my fault, right? I played a role in it. The other thing is, when it's my fault, that doesn't always mean that it's bad, right? Like I've had a hair salon for 12 years and it does really, you know, relatively well. We're not changing our our money status anytime soon, but it does feel really, you know, we have... It's been a great experience having the hair salon. It's done well for us. We enjoy it. And that's my fault, right? It's my fault. Now, all my life, my fault meant I did something wrong, right? My fault meant I've done something and I'm now going to get into trouble. That's not the case, right? It's not the case. My fault, I mean, I guess, I don't really know how that sounds, right? My fault. I mean, it's not necessary. I guess it is my fault. Like, you show up, you do good work, and this is what you get, right? My fault. So the point is, I'm not trying to make this confusing. For me, it's really just, you know, everything that happens to me today, I play a role in, right? And so before I go back and forth trying to figure out whose fault it is, I just say, okay, it's my fault. Listen, I'm here, right? If I'm just even here, if my feet are here and I said nothing and somehow I got into it, it's still my fault. I can clean it up, right? I'm making amends. I'm sorry. It's my fault. And but that's a huge, that's a first step. That was really a first step for me, is becoming accountable. You don't want to be a victim. And I have been a victim. Until I got sober, it was everybody else's fault. I remember running over my uncle's well in the middle of the in the grass. I'm like, what idiot would put a well here? That's stupid. That's Uncle Mike's fault, right? Crashing into the crashing into a pole in San Diego. Who would put this wooden sign here? That's stupid. That's San Diego's fault, right? Calling the cops on myself in San Diego when the guy hit my car. The cops telling me, this is private property. We can't do anything. Everything from that point on, me running my mouth and becoming a complete asshole, my fault, right? I, for a long time, said those cops were out of their mind, right? The guy punching me in the house, my fault, right? I was a victim to that for a long time. I had to go to the hospital. I had to, you know, I thought we were going to have to have surgery. It was a whole thing. You know, I can't believe that guy did that. I can't believe he walked in his house. My fault, right? I've cleaned up about four or five things just in this, you know, last couple minutes, because I've realized that they've all been my fault, right? This is a huge rock. This rock will drown you. And I've shared before, I came into this program as a victim of alcoholism. It was alcohol's fault, right? It was my parents' fault. It was school's fault. It was everybody else's fault but mine. And that's a freedom too, because you know what it means? When we start becoming accountable, we can get better, right? I can have, you know, one of the nice things about, you know, my ex-wife Diane and I is that when we split, I got sober, right? And from the point that she left, I've been sober ever since. I haven't had another drink. And I became very accountable very early. This is my fault. Good for you. You should have left. You know, let's have an agreement. We've always been on the same page. We haven't always liked everything, right? It's always because other people come in. You know, she gets a boyfriend, I get a girlfriend, and then things happen, right? So but we've always had our challenges, but always been able to get through it. But I've always taken the position is that I'm not going to be a victim of my ex-wife leaving, right? It was my fault, right? I'm not going to be a victim of her doing well when I wasn't, right? Because she left because it was my fault. I was drinking. So it just cleaned up a lot of shit, and I think that's what allowed us to have a decent relationship from that day till this day, until this graduation. So, but, you know, this is the beginning of trying to not be a victim, I think. You know, start cleaning it up, become accountable, start understanding the role that we play in all this shit. And I will read it. Let's see what it says. Oh, my gosh. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these characters. So we're entirely, that means completely, I guess, ready to have God. So at this point, I'm assuming you have a relationship with God, right? You know, up until this point, this is the sixth step. We've had a lot of opportunity to start learning how to have that relationship. Right. The fact that you're thinking of doing this step, I think, shows that you have a relationship with the higher power. So good for you. Step six, necessary to spiritual growth. The beginning of a lifetime job. Recognition of difference between striving for objective and perfection. Why we must keep trying being ready is all important. Necessary of taking action. Delay is dangerous. Rebellion may be fatal. Point at which we abandon limited objectives and move towards God's will for us. Yeah. Mm. Yep. Yeah. Well, yeah, you drown, right? If you delay, you drown. You know, the cool thing is that, and this sort of starts, you know, in the fourth and fifth step, but we start deciding what do we want? Right. What is it that I want? And I can look back at this time in my early recovery. I didn't know what I wanted, right? I didn't know what was out there. I didn't know what I could have, right? I didn't know. Because as a self-centered guy that came into this program, self wants a lot of stuff. Self wants this and self wants that, right? Self wants anything that makes self feel better. Self wants, you know, relief of this anxiety and pain. Self wanted a lot of stuff. But at the point I'm at today, I have to be careful, and I look at what self wants, right? I listen to what self wants, and then I decide if that's really, really what it is that I want. Because, you know, sometimes easier, softer way isn't always better for me. And, you know, so I start looking at that stuff, and this really starts separating from the person that I was before and the person that I hopefully can be on a daily basis. Because I can tell you, as long as I've been working a program and doing this, there are days that I wake up and I start off and I, you know, I'm still a bit of a mess, right? Like, what happened to all the work? One day at a time, right? Some days I wake up a little bit more with a spiritual connection, right? And some days I wake up with a little bit more self-centered fear. And so I just need to, it's almost like being, you know, a diabetic. Sometimes my blood sugar's high, right? Sometimes my blood sugar's low. I sort of have to address that every morning, where I'm at in my day, whether I need to, you know, make a phone call, reach out, look at me, right? Look at the rocks that I'm carrying for that day. And, you know, but this is a great step. And check it out. Let's read the daily reflections. I don't have anything to do today. It's kind of weird. Nothing to do. Daily reflections. All right. Entirely ready, June 5th, entirely ready. This is the step that separates the men from the boys. That's so funny. How? This is the step that separates the men from the boys. The difference between the boys and the men is the difference between striving for a... The difference between striving for a self-determined objective and for the perfect objective, which is of God. It is suggested that we ought... All right, let me start this over. What's going on with my phone? All right, here we go. Entirely ready, June 5th. This is a step that separates the men from the boys. The difference between the boys and the men is the difference between striving for a self-determined objective and for the perfect objective, which is of God. It is suggested that we ought to become entirely willing to aim towards perfection. The moment we say, no, never, our minds close against the grace of God. This is the exact point at which we abandon limited objectives and more towards God's will for us. What? What the fuck that is. All right. Check that out. Read that. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 63, 68, 69. Am I entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character? Do I know at long last that I cannot save myself? I have come to believe that I cannot. If I am unable, if my best intentions go wrong, if my desires are selfishly motivated, and if my knowledge and will are limited, then I am ready to embrace God's will for my life. Yeah, I'm a little more confused than I was. But that's funny that we start talking about the sixth step and that reading is of the sixth step. I don't know. I hope everyone's having a great day. I tried to do this podcast a few times. I almost gave up. Just put it out there. Sixth step is great. I love it. You know, read Drop the Rock. It is, to me, a game changer. This is where we start becoming less of a victim, right? This is where we start becoming accountable, intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us, and that's a huge deal. Later.
your grief.